Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto all of you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please be seated. As I stand before you here today, this morning, most of you know that I'm a hometown boy. Born and raised in Minnesota, born in Onamia, but raised all my life in Bloomington, Minnesota. What you may not know is that I'm a fan of the sport of wrestling. I'm not a fan of All-Star Wrestling or Worldwide Wrestling Federation or whatever it was that Hulk Hogan and all those guys are involved in. I'm a high school and college wrestling fan. And more than this, I wrestled for 4 years, one at Penn Junior High, three at Bloomington Lincoln High School. And then I went to wrestle at Golden Valley Lutheran College for a year and then transferred from there to Concordia St. Paul once I became interested in the ministry and wrestled for a year at Concordia College. I guess they call it university now, but it was called Concordia College St. Paul back then. And then I got married. End of wrestling. And that's okay. It was not hard to let go of it at all. I was Lake Blue Conference champion my senior year in high school. I took second in what I think was the NLCAA National Wrestling Tournament while wrestling for Concordia St. Paul. But ironically, there is very little history of my wrestling past because my high school, Lincoln, was closed down in 1982. Golden Valley Lutheran College was shut down in 1985. And I'm looking at Barry here on that one because he went there too. And the NLCAA, which I placed in 19 whenever, changed its name in 1989 to the NSCAA, National Small College Athletic Association, and then adopted its current name as the USCAA, the United States Collegiate Athletic Association, in 2001. The Lake Blue Conference was dissolved in 2010 to 2011, and Bloomington, Kennedy, and Jefferson became part of what's now called the South Suburban Conference. So alas, it's all changed. My legacy is gone. Wow. Or is it? If I identify with the things of the world, my success in the world, then yes, my legacy is lost. My accomplishments, yes, my legacy is lost. But if our identity is in the Lord, then our legacy is never lost. It continues with the Lord. Identity is very important in our Old Testament text for today. Of course, as we heard the text read, we made some immediate assumptions about it, didn't we? We assumed, obviously, that Jacob is the first wrestler because he's mentioned and he's wrestling. Got that piece. But we probably, some of you are thinking, is the second wrestler an angel? Is it God? Who is the second wrestler? It appears a bit vague, but these are the wrestlers in our Old Testament text for today. Even if we believe we have properly identified them, if we stop here, we may end up on a path that leads to confusion and maybe even to teaching false doctrine. But who, for sure, is the other wrestler that Jacob wrestled with that night? What happens if we simply identify the wrestlers and then look for a way to make this Bible story speak to us? One move we may make is to put ourselves in the story. We kind of switch out with Jacob, right? And we see ourselves as Jacob. We take on his role and we speak of wrestling with God in prayer in order to receive our blessing or the answer we desire. Because you got to apply the text. This is what we call the name it and claim it theology of the TV evangelists today. And this is what they would lead us to believe as they would have us look at this text about Jacob and the wrestler. TV evangelists like Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, Rod Parsley, Eddie Long, Kenneth Copeland, and the others. If we accept this understanding, their understanding of the text, then what this means is that we think the text is really all about us. But it's not. It's not about us. Another way we frequently understand this Old Testament text is to interpret it as a battle cry, telling us, You will be assailed by the soldiers of Satan and the wicked of the world. Fight the good fight. Do not give up. And in the end, you will be blessed with great honor, power, and riches. Persevere. But alas, this would also be the wrong understanding of the text. I'm not saying that we're not in the battle, folks. Spiritual warfare is very real, and I think all of you here know that, or you wouldn't be sitting here today. I'm not denying that the forces of sin and Satan in our world are grabbing at our lives and pulling at our limbs in an ongoing attempt to pin the shoulders of faith to the mat. This is our reality. This is our condition. This is our heritage from our first parents from the Garden of Eden. Evil prowls our streets. It rules our institutions. The Bible says what? 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan remains an active and dangerous foe who must be subdued lest we die physically and or spiritually. Eternally. Our world continues to shock us daily with its ability to conjure up even greater and more horrific examples of moral decadence. The evil one is here. The world surrounds us with corruption. Sin is crouching, ready to take us down. We're in a battle. The most serious battle of all. But who is the other wrestler? The other wrestler in our Old Testament text is not Jacob, clearly, because Jacob is wrestling against him. And the wrestler is not us. And Jacob is not us. When Jacob receives his new name of Israel during this wrestling match, and when God explains this particular name, God identifies the other wrestler. It's the same one who has wrestled from the beginning, the same one who wrestles with Jacob, the same one who wrestles with Satan on a cross, and the same one who wrestles every day for us. The wrestler is Christ Jesus. That is the other wrestler in this Old Testament account. In this case, we say he is the pre-incarnate Christ. Before he came down and took on human flesh in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. We know this because Jacob's new name of Israel can mean you have wrestled with God, or it can mean God has wrestled for you. Furthermore, according to good Hebrew and the scholars, the message in our text to Jacob appears to be, you have been one who strives with God and man, but now you will know that God strives for you and for all of Israel. Not with you, not by you, not if you need a little extra help, not if you're flat on your back and about to get pinned by the forces of life. Rather, I will wrestle for you in your place. Just as I have wrestled for you in the past. So I wrestle for you now, and I'll continue to wrestle for you until the day you stand in the courts of heaven and before the throne of God himself. It was God who rescued the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh with the parting of the waters, not some human power or man. It was God who drove the Canaanites out before the Israelites that they might possess the promised land, not man. It was God who took the burden of our sin on the cross at Calvary and engaged in a spiritual battle for us, not a sinful man. Jesus, apart from our sins, was righteous. But he took our sins upon himself on that cross. The Christ carried our sins to the cross. It was Jesus who suffered and shed his holy blood on our behalf. It was the Lamb of God who took away our sins as he died in our place. Still, on Good Friday, to all appearances, the one chosen to win was declared the loser. But was he? Here we remember who the wrestler was. True man, but true God. Second son of the Trinity, and God himself. You know, when I wrestled for GVLC, one night Coach Fulvan put me, a 155-pound wrestler, maybe it was 150, up at a heavyweight because we had no one to wrestle at heavyweight. That's like over 190, 200 pounds. This big bruiser probably weighed over 200 pounds. He was definitely a heavyweight, at least as I sat and looked at him as we shook hands on the mat. My younger brother, and by the way, he thoroughly dominated the match. I didn't stand a ghost of a chance of beating him. My younger brother, Jay, who at that time was a high school wrestler, I remember him sitting in the bleachers at Golden Valley. And another spectator supporting the other team was trash-talking me and saying, "Get up, get up. Referee, make him wrestle, make him wrestle." Referring to me. And I am told that Jay turned to the other person in the bleachers and, in words I can't repeat today, basically told him to be quiet and informed him that that guy had well over 50 pounds on me. The heavyweight wrestler did not pin me that night. He beat me in a superior decision, but he didn't put my shoulder blades to the mat. In sticking it out and doing this, even though I lost, or so I thought, I gained the team a point. Instead of being pinned, which would cost us 6 points and give the other team 6 points, I think they only got 4 or 5 points, whatever it was back then, for a superior decision. I didn't see myself as a winner, and I didn't see this coming. And my attempt here is not to compare myself to Jesus, but the next day in practice, Coach Fulvan paraded me in front of the team as a hero in view of overwhelming odds. The point of comparison here is not in me, the person, but in the act of sacrifice, of doing it, of taking a loss for the team. The Lord taught me a lesson that night about sacrifice in the face of overwhelming odds. And it even today gives me a greater appreciation when I speak of the sacrifice of our Lord. Jesus took one for the team. He took a beating and he died. What appeared at the time to be a loss for the team, for us, for sinners, for this world of sinners. Jesus sacrificed his life for the team, and though it looked as though he had been defeated as he hung limp on the cross, the greatest victory of all took place that day and was confirmed 3 days later as Jesus Christ, Son of God, rose from the dead, having conquered sin, death, and Satan itself. And it is God, it is Jesus, in the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, who is and was our wrestler. He is the one who wrestled with Jacob, and he later fights on our behalf on the cross. And he has claimed a great victory, which now by grace through faith he bestows the benefits of on us. Do you sometimes feel like a loser? We've all felt like a loser at times, haven't we? God is the wrestler. God is our wrestler. This reality did not begin with Jacob as he was rolling in the dirt by the Ford of Jabbok, wrestling with this unknown man. It began as Adam and Eve were driven from the garden. This reality did not end when Jesus was victorious upon the cross and Satan was pinned and chained in defeat. It ends when we are safely through the gates of everlasting life, risen from the dead, and with our Savior one day in heaven. I do not have to tell you that the battle, the fight is ongoing. Satan has been conquered, but as we read earlier from Peter, he is not yet given up. He is that roaring lion. Each day we are challenged by the desperate evil of our world, and we find ourselves in a chokehold that seems to threaten our very faith, fear not. There is the wrestler, the champion, the strong deliverer, the Christ who fights for us. But as Luther tells us, the old Adam is a good swimmer and must be daily drowned through daily repentance and faith. Christ's strong arm does the pushing. Fight that strong arm, if you will. Try to win the battle by yourself. Rely on your own reason and strength. Be your own wrestler. And when you have had your face rubbed in the dirt and your body pummeled by the wind, you will be grateful and thankful to know that the true wrestler has got your back. Our goal here today is that we are encouraged in our faith and walk by understanding that we do not wrestle against Satan and evil on our own, but the Lord wrestles in our place. He fights for you, and nothing can stand against him, not even the gates of hell. And he has given up us his Holy Spirit and his word to strengthen us in our day-to-day wrestlings with sin. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses only our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the true faith to life eternal. Amen.